Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
This week, Shinnecock Hills Golf Club on Long Island, New York, plays host to the 126th U.S. Open.
Another epic up and down at Pinehurst for a U.S. Open championship. Bryson DeChambeau now has two.
This is a U.S. Open week edition of Dirt and Spray.
We find a nice sweet spot between the dunes. We take out our drivers, we tee up, and...
And Brandon Sprague.
I only hit one really good ball that went way up.
So what happened?
I have no concentration.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
What is that, a title list?
U.S. Open Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague, your Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app. Live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday to you.
Hey-ya!
Hopefully you had a great weekend. Your air conditioning is working because it's going to be a hot one again today. Going to be a little steamy out there today, boys. A little steamy out there.
Yeah.
Might need to...
Time to drop trial and hog out.
Walk around naked, man. Cools everybody off. Spray yourself off with the hose. Find a way to beat the heat. Lots to get to in this hour of radio. We got a few things from the weekend we haven't talked about yet today. We have not talked about Team USA's dominant win on Friday night.
The greatest game in men's soccer history.
It's the best one that I can remember watching, and I don't know that many off the top of my head, but it's the best they've ever looked according to my, you know, average eyes.
It's a real take, even though they've been further
I didn't text Pete Harris. I said, you got to stop poo-pooing this team. This is our year. Look at these guys.
I don't think he poo-pooed
them. He's poo-pooing. He thinks they're going to get smoked in the quarterfinals. I said, bro, are you watching
this? Well, he has them coming out of the group stage.
Are you watching this right now? This ain't a team that's getting smoked. We're going all the way this year.
Also, the blowback of expanding the field has really caught on.
Yeah, a lot of blowouts.
Did you see the Carousel guy when he scored the lone goal for them against Germany? He just stood up amongst everybody. He's like,
I did it, dude. I scored a goal in a World Cup game. I don't care if it's 7-0.
And he scored on Germany.
I got one on Germany. Yeah. I'm remembering. Give me that ball.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the fan.
There was
a live watch party, and it was all Germany fans.
One guy stands
up. And there was
up.
One Carousel fan, in and they middle. Scored. And he was like, woo! And it was just like looking at him like, what? Now it tied the game. But
yeah. Oh, it was 1-1 tie at the time.
I think it was a 1-1 tie, and they ended up losing 7-1.
I think they all knew probably how that one was going to end. We'll start, though, in the NBA Finals because there's a lot that we haven't even unpacked yet. It was about as compelling of a five-game series as you could ask for. Usually in five-game series, you're like, all right, this thing's been over for a while. We kind of knew the winner at the outset of it, and that wasn't necessarily the case with this series. San Antonio kept building leads and then finding ways to lose them. We've talked a lot about the Knicks and their team building, and I definitely have more on that and more on the Brunson angle of it because I think it connects here locally to something we have felt as a fan base. But let's get to the Spurs side of it a little bit more. So you get a San Antonio team making their first legitimate run in the play, like first time they've been with this group. Last year they miss it when we get shut down at the end of the year. Make it all the way to the NBA championship. I appreciate them knocking OKC off and continuing our streak of eight consecutive different champions, and I think there's a really good chance that we have a ninth different next season. A couple of things out of this. So the Wemby angle of it is interesting to me because he is viewed as the future of the league, the guy who is the budding face of the league, a dominant unicorn type of player that we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And then it felt like as this postseason came on, two different narratives started to build. One, his lack of execution and good play at the end of the games when his team needed it the most, when they have these leads and he's throwing a pass off of a teammate's back, he's dribbling off his foot, he had a game-winning shot in game two that he wasn't able to hit. And that's kind of the way you're judged as a star player, in like these big moments and how do you perform and all that. And so there's a balance of wanting to hold him to that standard while also acknowledging how young he is. And then on the other side, then maybe this was around more and I just wasn't in my NBA bubble yet. Has he always been known as a dirty player? Is this more of a recent kind of growing storyline? Because I don't think there's any question that from the start of the playoffs to now, it feels like from my vantage point, there has been a bit of an opinion shift on him of, wow, this is kind of crazy. He's this French guy who's psychotic about basketball, too. This guy's kind of a bitch and a dirty player. Mm. And there were a lot of things that he did throughout the series. And not just this series, right? Going all the way, the elbow in the Minnesota series and getting tossed out.
Yeah.
With a flagrant, too. Like, it just kind of built up for him of all the way to the culmination of Game 5. He should have been ejected for landing under or stepping under Brunson when he was trying to land.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. This, I think it comes off of when he shoved Brunson with his hand on the head area.
The top
and didn't
of the
anything.
Head. Yeah. Was that Game 1 or Game 2? Game 1?
Well, that was in New York, wasn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't remember if it was. Oh, yeah, you're right.
I think
game
it was
three?
Game 3.
Touche.
But Marbury did a video in his car, and he basically was like, let me tell you right now, man, these international players, they're dirty. And the NBA is not as aware of this until they experience it firsthand.
Mm.
And he started going off about it. And I think this, I'd never heard the reputation of Wimby being a dirty player. Part of the offseason, the growth for him, because he said they were going to go to Game 7, that they thought they could win the series of the better team. He basically said as much in the postgame, too. He's like, we were the better team.
He said we dominated the majority of the series. Which
he's not wrong statistically.
He's not wrong. They led for the majority of the series.
But people don't want to hear it when you lose. He lost in 5. You got a gentleman sweep.
Yes.
I picked the Knicks to win in 7, and that was just me picking an experienced team to win on the road. I'm shocked, legitimately, they were able to do it in as quick a work as they did. Now, the comebacks, the historic stuff, that certainly is part of the conversation. What I learned about Wimby, one, he needs to develop his offensive game more, which is crazy to say because of how good he already is.
When he's so dominant on the other end of the floor, he's an inverse of some of the modern players.
He
is. Luka, who's dominant offensively, but doesn't do a lick on defense.
But like when it was really kind of nut up or shut up time, to quote the great Dan Lanning, did you feel like he did it? Like,
no.
Where was he at the end of the fourth quarter of that game?
Nowhere to be found.
I thought he was nowhere to be found. It didn't feel like he wanted the ball a whole hell of a lot.
No.
And so I think he's got to work on that. And the other aspect of this, and it goes to the dirty part, maybe this is just who he's going to be. But this was his first playoff go-round. And to me, it looked like he had a hard time processing his emotions and regulating himself. Take the Minnesota series. They were being super physical with him in that series.
Mm-hmm.
How do you respond in one of those games?
Got tossed out by throwing
clean
an elbow.
Clean elbow
right to the jaw.
Cock back on Naz Reid's neck. In this series, the Jalen Brunson shove, the put your foot under Jalen Brunson's landing zone. I just think there were multiple issues in times during the series and during the playoffs where it didn't look like he was processing things emotionally correct. And so as somebody that was like, I'm a Buddhist monk this offseason, I'm a Shaolin ninja. For a guy that went through an offseason of like super international, learn how to process stuff, it looked like it kind of got the best of him at times. I wonder if he works on that. But overall, yeah, I think he established himself as a slightly dirty player. I think people will not refute how great he can be. We all know that.
Everybody can see it.
But he needs to figure out, like, when you're looking at the end of a game, Steph Castle doesn't have it.
Nope.
Fox didn't have it.
Nope.
Harper had it but didn't get it enough. Who else after those guys? You would think Wimby would be the guy of all of them.
Right.
And I just felt like there were a lot of moments where he wasn't trying to be that. And that's what the great players have to be. And that's part of the learning curve, too. Like, SGA went through it, and then he won the championship.
Yeah, they lost in the second round.
LeBron, Kurt, like, you name it. Every guy has had to go through it and learn. And they got a lot further this year than people thought they would. But they learned, and they learned, unfortunately, in the biggest stage.
Well, and the other part of it, too, like, to be fair to Wimby, I guess, in this regard, when we go back to, like, round one, now we're obviously in a different league than these two teams, but some of the stuff that stood out to me in that Blazers-San Antonio series was when they needed a closer offensively late in games, who was it? It was De'Aaron Fox, a guy who's one of the few guys coming into the postseason with experience, albeit not very much.
He was the clutch player of the year in the NBA.
Right, like that's his kind of thing. Like, he's the ball handler. He's the guy that can go create a shot. He can knock down a three. He can set, you know, a lob up to win. Like, he's going to be the guy, the straw that stirs the drink, to use a cliche, late in games for them.
Yep.
And then you get to the NBA Finals, and he was horrendous at the end. And they stood by his side. Maybe that's the right call. Maybe it's not. I understand the argument of not wanting to sit him down or change your minutes because you also have to think about the relationship there and what it does to the future and all of this. But it is a component of it that I find fascinating because one of the things we said about San Antonio coming in, and you've been banging this drum for a while, and who knows if it ends up being right or not, but I certainly think history has proven so far that you're right. that we have this thought of a super team up and coming of like, oh God, here we go. They're going to dominate forever. In San Antonio, that was some of the thought coming into the finals of like, the Knicks are from the East. The East sucks. They're going to steamroll them. They just beat OKC. Certainly was not the case. And now you look into the future, like Wemby is going to get better. He's going to find a way to be more efficient on offense. He's going to find a go-to shot or move that he could have in the low post. Like, he's psychotic. He wants to go train with Monks. He's going to figure it out. Where he needed more help, and this is where I always want to be fair to star players, because I do find it ridiculous when we just throw it all on him of like, why didn't you do it all by yourself? De'Aaron Fox is supposed to be their vet, their offensive closer late in games. He was horrendous the entire NBA Finals.
He had a tough final.
One of the worst performances I can remember seeing. He shot 32% from the floor, 25% from three. His field goals in the five games of the series, in game one in the fourth quarter, 0 for 2, loss. Game two, 2 for 2, hey, not bad. Still lost the game. Game three, they won. He was 2-6. Game four, they blow a 30-point lead. He's 1-5 from the floor in the fourth quarter. And in game five, he goes 0-4. Your starting backcourt in the deciding game of the NBA Finals.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Was Stephon Castle and De'Aaron Fox. They played a combined 69 minutes. Nice. And they scored, ready for it, 13 points in 69 minutes. They were 4 of 25 from the floor and 1 of 11 from 3. And so this is where there's a balance of Wemby needed to be better. He wasn't great in every late second moment. He dribbled the ball off his foot and turned it over in a pivotal end of game two. Mm-hmm. While also acknowledging, like, dude, everybody else around him let him down. And where I think this is interesting, and to your point about where we go with some of the futures, it's one bad series for Fox. I have no idea what their future plans are. I thought it was interesting in the aftermath of the game. I can't remember who said it, but one of the Spurs players said, you know, Dylan Harper got a little frustrated at times this year with his role and his opportunities and, you know, his minutes and all that. He was the best player on the floor, I thought, on Saturday night for them. I think it was a clear argument. He was their second best player in this series from a start to finish standpoint, what he can do on both sides. He had 25 points. He carried them offensively for the majority of the game. De'Aaron Fox's contract just kicked in, and his numbers go to 53 next year, 57 the year after that. The last year of his deal in 29-30, he's going to be 32 years old, making $61.3 million. And to the idea of a dominant run, that I don't know if it's an elephant in the room. Maybe it's too soon to say that because it was one bad series. That is a massive storyline out of this finals for me of what is De'Aaron Fox? How does he fit into their future windows? Because they have a guard coming off the bench who is ready to start and play right now, and he will next year. And what in the world do you do with De'Aaron Fox?
Well, you don't want to overreact to losing in the championship. I think the best franchises in sports don't overreact. But also, you have to address the elephant in the room, which is Dylan Harper's ready to go.
He's ready to be a guy.
You cannot perform like that in the finals as a rookie and tell me you're not ready to be handed kind of the reins to that thing with Wemby.
Yeah.
So if they trade De'Aaron Fox this offseason, I wouldn't be shocked. I don't think anybody would. Devin Vassell cannot be your third best player.
No.
When you look at the NBA Finals and you rank the best players for the Spurs, you would say Wemby 1.
Wemby 1.
Harper 2.
Harper 2.
And it was Devin Vassell.
Probably, yeah.
On a per-game basis, that dude did not miss. He was lights out in the garden, and he was kind of one of their go-to scorers because Fox was struggling and Castle didn't have his offense humming. I just, when I look at the NBA right now as we had, what, our eighth straight different champion.
Mm-hmm.
Half of those are small market teams.
Yes, they are.
So that's an important note here. And the other part is, and I'll say it now, like, I know we haven't talked about Brunson and played the audio of his dad. I think we're going to have nine straight. I don't look at the Knicks as a repeat team. I thought it was easy to look at the Thunder as one because of how young, and then the Spurs came along this year. I'll say it again, man, because the Spurs, as dominant as they look, Swag was like, I'm betting a futures ticket on the Spurs. I'm like, they're going to be
next
the favorite.
Year, yeah.
Like, bold take.
I think, yeah, them and OKC are essentially the plus 230, plus 240. Yeah. It's, yeah, the odds are already out.
I don't blame anybody for doing it. I also, like, we've seen really good up-and-coming teams disintegrate quickly.
Yes.
The Grizzlies were this.
Yeah.
And then, boom, they're done. The Suns, for people, was kind of a version of this with Booker and the way they got to the final. Boom, done. The Rockets. Oh, we got Kevin Durant. Boom, done. Like, some of these teams make that leap. The Spurs very well could. I also, you're like, how is Wemby going to get better? How many games is he going to play?
Yeah.
Is he going to stay healthy? Because if you don't have Wemby out there, as good as Harper is, I don't know what the Spurs are. So I think there's a lot still kind of in limbo that's not, I'm ready to say, a done deal. They're going to win the West next year and get to the finals again.
Right.
So I think that was a great finals. It's kind of inexplicable how they blew as many games as they did, as many leads as they did. But it leaves me hopeful as a sports fan, knowing you have 8 straight different champions, and every single run we're like, that's the next dynasty. That's
here it comes.
Next. Here we go. And then it's over before it even really started. So we'll see what happens with San Antonio. They're going to have to make some interesting decisions going forward. It's an all-time great title team. And I think as much as San Antonio is a topic for people today, the biggest story is that this is one of the greatest team runs in the sports history, and it's one of the best sports championship runs we've seen from any team in any sport. It's remarkable. A 16-3 run with a 15-plus differential in points.
Right.
With a 6'2 guard being the focal point MVP. And what did they do to make you hate them? Let me ask you that. Aside from some fans beating other fans up in the city,
throwing an egg at
what
Wimby.
Did the actual team do to make you hate them? I would argue nothing. They play their asses off every single night.
Super likable group.
They're not a load managing team. Like, if they're out, they're legitimately injured. The atmosphere at home is electric.
And on the road, dude. They took over San Antonio on Saturday night.
That was a closeout home game for the Knicks, dude. Yeah. Like, that's a likable, fun team that found chemistry and togetherness at exactly the right time, and they steamrolled everybody. You can have the opinion of the East-West stuff all you want. If the 98 Bulls did that, which I think they did, do we look back and go, the East sucked in 98, so we tried to get it?
No, we only did that to LeBron. LeBron's the only guy that ever got
that. Exactly. That's the only player in league history who said East sucks.
It's easy.
But people were saying that about the Knicks getting to the finals. The finals is the West finals. Like, no, it's not, man. This Knicks team was legitimate. You need to respect the run. It's all-time legacy stuff.
Well, and it's also, too, a lot of this stuff, and I want to get to an angle of this in a moment, because I do want to give Brunson a little more time, including the audio from his dad, which I chuckled at on the postgame. I view a lot of this through the prism of my Blazer fandom, right? Like, it just, that's the way I view the NBA. There's always we joke about connecting things back to Portland and all that. And there was, like, I had mentioned some of the post-game stuff being a little lackluster and not super over the top, which is fine. I just, you know, didn't find it the most compelling. But there was a good point from a listener on the Josh Hart. He did the Rams F them picks when they were interviewing him.
He did.
And it was...
They did that a lot in the post-game on the podium, like, stage.
Dude, you think to the way... That was the other part of it for me that's fascinating about the Knicks, is that it's not... I don't know, sometimes when you think of an organization like that, you would imagine the majority of the team was built through either the draft or free agency because people want to go play at the Garden. And it's just not the case. Brunson did. He went. But then you traded RJ quickly and some draft capital for OG Anunoby. You traded a first-round pick to us for Josh Hart.
Cam Reddish.
And forget Shanghai Shark legend.
What are you doing?
That at the time, I remember being like, you're trading for some people around, you're trading first round pick for Josh Hart. Really? Josh Hart can't shoot, can't score. Ended up being super important to them throughout the series. Obviously, Brunson as a free agent, the Randall for Cat shakeup, which was a massive roll of the dice because Randall had been one of the faces of your franchise. But
I didn't
you felt
view
like,
that as a mass.
That was a trade around the NBA circles. I remember caused a lot of it. Cat is this guy who's like Jimmy Butler just punked him in a practice with third teamers and all this. Right. Like, you trade all these draft picks for Bridges. Like, you rolled the dice. You got to game 7 of the conference finals last year. You were a shot or a moment or a possession away from winning the East and going to the NBA finals. And how did they respond? They fired their head coach,
which was crazy.
We gave our coach, who had a 28% winning percentage extension, and then he got, you know, arrested by the FBI. But I digress. They fired their head. It was just, it was the epitome of a let's roll the dice again, roll the dice again, roll the dice again. And they were aggressive, kept trying,
and it all
came together this year, and they won a championship.
Well, and they're also run by guys who have been around the sport for a long time as non-front office people.
Yeah.
Worldwide West and Leon Rose, like, these guys are in the player business, not the NBA front office business. Now they are handed the keys to the franchise. Dolan doesn't know what the hell he's doing. That was a roll of the dice on the coach, and it's a roll of the dice with 5 picks for Bridges, a roll of the dice for a first and a player for Hart. Like, these are all rolls of the dices, and it broke their way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think you were out that one. I think it was the day you went. It was either you were sick or you were golfing. I did a segment. ESPN wrote an article on this topic. It's interesting you bring it up.
The roster construction of it.
Roster construction. The history of the league, you know what it suggests? At least since, I think, what was it, 2000? You're not winning the championship with number 1, 2, 3 players. And in fact, you mostly don't make the playoffs with those guys. It's kind of crazy. Now, the Spurs are kind of the exception to the rule. There's guys you can find that are top, you know, first round, number 1 overall picks. But when you look at title winning guys, it's largely guys out of the first 5 picks.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, It's a really hard thing to say, oh, well, we tanked and we got the number one pick in the draft. Cool, man. Are you going to win the chip?
Right. Did you get LeBron or Victor
Wembanyama?
They looked
at the history of the league, Dirt, and they weren't even finding guys barely making the playoffs with the second, third, fourth picks. It's guys at 8, 10,
right.
12. Brunson's a second-round guy. Boy, you want to talk about all-time great stories. Brunson's in this elite category of
undersized, doubted second-round pick, even though he was
Jokic,
a champion. Yeah.
Right. Jokic winning the NBA Finals MVP. Brunson now, did Ginobili win one with the Spurs? I don't know if he did, but he was a focal point to a title team. That's a second-round pick. Draymond Green, a focal point as a second-round pick. Like, rarefied air to not only win a championship, but to do it as the lead guy and you're a second-round pick? I mean, dude, this was a lot of this takeaways are going to be Wemby, dirtiness, Spurs, futures. Cool. The story is Brunson having one of the league's history's greatest all-time runs any player there. Stop.
I want to continue on that. It's a great place to end this segment. One more on the NBA Finals, and that is on the Brunson angle. Like, what emotions did you feel as a Blazer fan seeing an undersized guard who people doubted his entire career and said couldn't do it, finally do it because they surrounded him with the right style of roster? Also, some funny shots from his dad in the postgame that I chuckled at that were a little interesting. And a question posed by Barkley that I'm wondering, is he actually right on this? A little bit more on the NBA Finals and the Brunson angle of it next. 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the more you watch the World Cup, the more you realize, hey, that's a country? How about that? We'll get to the World Cup at some point. It is underway, and Team USA sure look good on Friday night.
People are very upset that the field is probably going to expand to the original NCAA tournament number.
Let's just keep going, dude. Everybody
in. I heard Twelman yesterday on SVP, and he's like, oh, yeah. And then he gave an argument for why this is actually bad.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to be a wet blanket, but he's like, but by 2034, it's going to get
bigger.
To 64 teams.
What, you're telling me we can make another $1 billion in television rights if we have X amount more games? Come on down!
I think it's in Saudi Arabia.
Of course it is.
I might be wrong on that, but he mentioned basically, and it's like, well.
No, the next one is in Portugal, Morocco, and Spain.
That's pretty sweet.
No. 2034.
Okay, the one after.
Yeah. Two from now.
Twelman, okay. I think he said Saudi Arabia, and he was like,
okay,
it's probably going to go to 64 at that point.
Got it. Well, that's exciting to think about. A couple more lingering thoughts on the NBA Finals. I want to read a couple of quick thoughts, and then we'll have a brief therapy session, if you will, and then what do we make of a dad commenting on this?
Oh,
so,
okay.
Let's read a couple thoughts first. Somebody said we hate them because they're New York, and New York sucks. Can't root for East Coast teams.
No, there's
you
that.
Know, there's
yeah.
that. I get that.
I'm talking about the team itself, though, not
I just don't.
In the city.
I guess I'm able to separate in markets. Like, I do this the other way. Like, when the Cubs won, and it's like, oh my God, this long historic drought for Chicago, which it certainly was for the Cubs. They also, in my lifetime, have the most dominant NBA dynasty. They won 3 Stanley Cups. Like, the Bears haven't won in a while, but like, you've won.
The Blackhawks have won some cups.
If you're a sports fan in Chicago, your life has not been miserable for its entirety.
If you're just a
right?
Bears and Cubs fan.
By all means, sure. And that's, I guess I can separate it the other way for New York of like, I don't hate the Knicks with association of the Yankees being good. You know what I mean? Like, the Knicks haven't won anything in my entire life.
It's similar fan base.
It's a similar fan base. I get that. That's why, to me, I'm chuckling at, like, yeah, if you're a New York fan for long enough, you've seen the Giants. If you're a Giants fan, you've seen them win a couple of chips. You've seen, you know, you've seen different things over the years.
Isn't it the Boston thing that you despise? It's the kid who's like, I haven't seen a championship in a year.
Right. Boston has had a lot more of those in New York over the handful of years.
Sure.
But New York, it's not like they've never won a championship, at least in modern times.
Right.
Yankees have a bunch of those as well. So there's that angle of it. Somebody said, I wouldn't be surprised if Fox is traded, but I also wonder what they could get for him with the contract after the final showing. That, to me, is a super compelling storyline of this, of like, somebody texted in, I think one of the matching storylines of Wemby not living up to maybe the expectation on the other side of that is they have a 19-year-old guard coming off the bench who reminds me of Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to think of a comp for him, and I know size and, you know, positional fit is a little bit different than Kawhi, There's not one. He's not an elite this. Or, he's just good all around, and he seemingly is years more mature than he should be at his age and ready to come in and fill in the biggest moment. The Fox and Harper conundrum is just, it's going to make for a really interesting offseason because I think they're going to try and trade De'Aaron Fox. I think you kind of have to.
Well, why do you have to? Let me ask you that.
Well, what's the alternative? Because Harper's not coming off the bench.
Is Wimby going to get an extension this summer?
I don't know how that works with him. Is he ready for one? Or did they wait another year for all NBA?
I think he's eligible. Him and Scooter the same year.
Well, and he won Depoy, right? So he's eligible for a super. Isn't that how it works if you win
I don't know if he's going to do the Brunson. What if he did the Brunson thing?
If he does the Brunson thing, that's a whole other angle of Brunson I want
to
talk about.
But you don't
about.
Have to pay Harper. You don't have to pay Castle.
No, it's not even just about a financial thing. It's just about you can't keep Harper on the bench next year, can you?
I mean, you can start Harper and talk to. I don't know if Fox cares.
Oh, you don't think he cares about coming off the bench?
I
just feel like that's a pretty unique thing for the NBA. Like we go through of like our guys willing to. We have that debate a lot.
But
I
we
feel
don't.
Like.
But see, anybody speculating on like you don't.
We have no idea.
You don't know him.
Yeah, we have no idea.
You have no idea if De'Aaron Fox is going to go. Yeah, actually, kid's ready. I'll be a sixth man of the year.
Yeah,
Keldon Johnson did it. Why can't I do it? Right, like. I don't know if they're forced to. They might feel like they have to now because he didn't play well. I also don't think that finals is going to steer a team away from taking on a really good player.
My only thought of it
I was wondering if Portland should jump into the fray. I'll be
De'Aaron
honest
Fox.
With you. I had a split second thought. I don't think they will because they have Holiday and Dame and Scoot.
Any more gods.
I don't think San Antonio needs Jeremy Grant and Shaden Sharp. But I thought, like, dude, if I was another team needing a player that can handle the rock and score
–
Yeah, he had a bad finals. You're going to let five games dictate whether you're out on
no,
him?
No, it's not even necessarily just a Fox thing. It's mainly a Harper's ready for the moment thing. And
yes.
And maybe you try the Blazer because Wemby's so good and big. Maybe you can get away with the Blazer idea of Harper's your starting three because he's a bit of a bigger body.
He's 6'6", and he's thick, man.
Like maybe that's the route that you go in, just like a smaller starting lineup, and you kind of fill him into that role. And that certainly could be the case. And maybe Fox is cool coming off the bench. It has nothing to do with financials. It's just if Fox is going to refuse to come off the bench and Harper's ready, I think that's the move you got to make because he was outstanding and he's only going to continue to get better. A couple other quick thoughts and we'll get more into Brunson. Where did this go?
Josh Hart. Now we get to play golf.
Hey, now it's golf season, baby. So let's get to Brunson a little bit. Let's have a therapy session. How did it make you feel, Brandon, watching an undersized guard win a championship with the players that Damian Lillard wanted to surround himself with?
Yeah, I do. Like, I don't blame people for taking the take. I also have no evidence that that means they're winning the championship.
No.
You need certain things to happen, and things went their way.
Karl-Anthony Towns would not have been a part of that, equation.
Well, people here don't want Karl-Anthony Towns.
No, they won't.
He's too much of a jokester.
But he wanted OG, and he wanted Bridges, and that's the kind of player that Dame knew he needed to be surrounded by. It's in the face of the Becky Hammond stuff, you can't win with an undersized guard.
Also, they didn't get him. You know, like, God, there is a part of me that's like, there is a sliver of me, I should say.
Sliver.
Like, I heard it. I've heard it from his own people who are on social media. You know, Dame wanted these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, man. Was he super pissed and adamant? Or was it like, I like those guys. You do you. Because whenever he was asked, he's like, I don't do the front office stuff. That's Neil's job. So, like, did you try to dictate harder than we know? I'd love to hear that.
He needed to be more LeBron. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, man. That's how the league operates.
Yeah.
But we didn't get it. Didn't happen. I was super happy for Brunson. I'm also not somebody that watched that happen. I'm like, oh, this could have been Dame.
Could have been us.
Brunson was special.
Mm-hmm.
Brunson's been special. When he signed that contract, I certainly didn't believe he was going to be somebody to lead a title team. Now, you need the right help around guys like that that are limited defensively. And, you got to fill those holes right. And they did. They got the right role guys in, mixed with guys he had chemistry with.
Mm-hmm.
They identified the culture, the fit, and said, who's going to make sense? Well, we need wings. All right, great. What wings specifically? Well, how about guys he won national championships with that actually fill the voids of what we need to do everything guy who will rebound, assist, and score? Josh Hart, line two. He's playing for a weird Portland team, doesn't know what they want to do. We can get him for a first and a player that doesn't matter.
The junkyard dog does all the dirty work.
Bridges, who I thought had really low bad moments in this series, but also was good in the closeout game. And I think it was game
had
one?
Yeah.
Game one or two, he had one of those really good games.
Yes.
Like,
It wasn't perfect. The whole him and Kat, I felt like kind of flipped. Like one of them would have a horrible game, and the other one would have a good game.
They paid a very high price for that, and you can argue about they won the title. So if the five picks were worth it,
yeah.
So I was really happy for him because you don't see guys his size do it very often.
Game two, he had 20 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists.
I thought it was great. I had no emotional feeling of oh, this should have been Dame.
Could've been us,
man. We blew our chance, and we know it. That didn't change anything. So I didn't watch it from that lens. I just watched it from a hoops fan standpoint of like how cool and special it is to watch a player that size and caliber have that kind of fight, that heart, like that. Every cliche in sports you can name, he has it, man. Yeah. And that dude, you can tell he put in the work in the gym. The line on the work he did in the summer, it hit hard because any summer that anybody's put in for any sport they've played.
You grinded, man.
When you really grind, you can see guys get that outcome. And for him to be able to have that and get to the mountaintop, I thought it was special.
The other angle of it that I was chuckling at, so I stuck around. It's a Saturday night. I was glad that it kind of ended on a weekend because it gave me more time to enjoy all of the post-game festivities instead of being like, all right, it's like 9:40. I should probably go to bed and turn this off.
Yeah.
So I had Inside the NBA on all the way. I think I watched it all the way to
the
end of it.
Almost.
Yeah, you're just sitting on your couch. Yep. Like, I got nothing. I'm not going. Everybody's asleep. Like, let's just hang out. So they bring on the Inside the NBA crew, they bring on the Brunsons. So they come up, and he's still got his goggles on, and he just won Finals MVP and led New York to their first championship in 53 years, the Knicks, that is. And the idea of him being the greatest Knick was brought up, and his dad opined with this.
I'm going to stop the argument, too.
Yeah.
You know, I love my son. Patrick Ewing, the best Knick that I've ever witnessed.
Oh, I didn't say that.
No, I just want people to, like, you know. Like,
I'm going to say it's going to be debatable.
Could be debatable.
No, it's going to be debatable now because the other thing, you know, what he has done is he has ignited a culture that was not lit. It was the fuse was there. It was I called it the lamp that was plugged in with no power, and they just it was no power in New York, and he brought the power to New York.
I got the power. I was cracking up at home because that wasn't the first. So the first one was Barkley saying Brunson is the greatest free agent signing of all time. Trying to, and you can go with, you know, a lot of other big names, obviously, because there's been big free agents. Mainly, like, the idea he's a second-round pick, this undersized guard of, like, really? And then him taking $100 million less on his contract. All the things that go into them winning. And Brunson argued that. He was like, no, Shaq's the biggest free agent signing of all time. And I'm just sitting there laughing. I'm like, is his dad taking a dump all over him on Inside the NBA? After he just, like, he has to.
Yeah.
You don't want to say greatest. That's fine. Like, he just won a championship. Isn't that what matters most? Well,
but you know, when people win stuff, it becomes a debate. Of like where they are on the all-time legacy hierarchy stuff, right? And it's going to naturally become a topic of, is he the greatest Knick? And now for the next week, we're going to hear the debate. It's probably already happened this morning on all the national shows.
Preposterous!
Is he the greatest? Like, I just love that his dad is the one that... Let me just come out
and
say this.
Let me cut you off right there. Patrick Ewing's the greatest Knick.
If there was ever a moment for a dad to be proud and say, I think he's the greatest Knick ever... It's in this moment.
Yes.
This is the only time
just won a title.
You usually get a pass for just saying out-of-pocket stuff that doesn't really need to be said.
Yeah,
and he couldn't do it.
No.
His kid dropped 45 points. Swag, look this up during the commercial. How many points did Rick Brunson score in like a 4-year span? Was it 45 points total? I told my wife because I said, this is his dad that he's hugging. And she goes, oh, He's played in the NBA. I was like, yeah, he's a journeyman. He was a Blazer. What kind of Blazer was he, Sprague? I got a Franz loaf of bread with Rick Brunson's card, and I went, oh, Rick Brunson? And I threw it because I didn't want Rick Brunson.
He's got to give you a first take, hot take in the post game with his son. No, hold on.
45 in a
shut that down, okay? You know, Patrick Ewing, all right? Patrick Ewing. The most he ever averaged in a season was 5.5 with the Clippers at the age of 32.
I'm serious. Is there a 2-year run of his entire pro career where he didn't score 45 total points? It has to be a thing.
Has to be a thing.
His kid did something we haven't seen since Jordan, yeah. And he's on the post game like, nah, he's not the best of all time.
Yeah, well, he got traded in 2001.
2001, he played a total of 22 games and scored 46
points in the season.
An entire season, he scored one more point than his kid just did in a closeout finals game on the road for the New York Knicks, and this guy can't just lean into it in the moment and give his kid that
Somebody made a hilarious joke on the video.
It's crazy.
It basically said, I can't believe I'm saying this. We needed LeVar Ball here.
Yeah, we did.
My kid's the GOAT. He's better than Jordan. He's better than Pippen.
He played in
16
career playoff games, scored 9 career playoff points.
9.
Like, that is the
he
all-time
had a
moment.
More than 9 in that game.
That one made me crack up. Brunson is obviously the MVP. He was fantastic, and New York exploded. Let's put a bow on a couple other things around the NBA now.
Man.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the offseason. The waters are warm.
We're getting a coach now.
Giannis watch, coach updates. Where are we at? Next on The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, should we get to the footy football coming up top of the hour? You get a goal, and you get a goal. Are we dominant now? Are we ready to take over the world? Talk about that final hour of the show. Got some football stuff to get to as well, including stop me if you've heard this before. Potentially another lawsuit in college athletics.
Please, God, no. Please, anything.
It won't go away. Make it stop.
I'd rather talk about UFC 250 than
You want to talk about UFC? Is the former first lady a man? Do you want to do that topic today? Because that was yelled.
That was a tough look.
Nah, yeah. That's how you celebrate America right there, baby. 250.
We're a very interesting country right
Happy
now.
Happy birthday, USA! Not quite yet, though.
You put a bald eagle on a stage, and there is no issues in America. That's all we need in this country.
It's all you need, man. It's all you need. Well, with the Knicks officially winning the championship on Saturday night.
Yeah.
I will remember you, NBA season. It has come and gone.
It's
another year. The book's been closed.
Mm-hmm.
Final chapter has been written, and you know what that means? It's off-season time, baby. That was the other part of my reaction. As compelling as that series was, and I was super excited for the finals, and the games were all, you know, different little, you know, storylines in their own right, and the big comeback, and all of the scenes.
Yeah.
Then you connect it back locally of like, all right, I'm glad it's the off-season. Now we can start doing stuff that matters to us in Portland and making moves, and what's it going to look like? Some of the latest reporting is that it is expected at any moment today the Chicago Bulls will name their head coach.
Oh, they're going to take our guy.
Well, which guy are they going to take?
Splitter's our guy.
Well, he is, but we're also in on Micah. Is Micah Norrie our guy?
I mean, we've never had Micah Norrie.
Sure, that's
so
true.
He wouldn't be our guy.
He's a finalist for our job.
The Bulls hiring today could impact our decision this week because old Tommy Dundon couldn't hire somebody last week.
No, he cannot do two things at once, so he was waiting, obviously. Now the Stanley Cup final is over, so maybe we get a coaching announcement at some point today. And I think we're all just, where are we at on the Giannis storyline fatigue? Are we there yet? Are we still engaged with it? You've been there for a while.
It's been all year. Yeah, it's been almost 2 years straight of the Giannis fatigue storyline stuff. They made a crappy roster.
We're a week away from the NBA draft tomorrow. So 8 days away from the NBA draft. There is continued held speculation that he will be moved before the NBA draft. Because if you're Milwaukee, you're going to want some capital involved in that. Miami has the 13th overall pick, I believe, in the first round next Tuesday. Mm. So if they are the landing destination, that would be a part of it. It was also reported yesterday that it does seem like there is a little bit of smoke. Now, how much? I don't know. Is it Pope smoke? Is it you just lit a match? Can't tell you. That Boston is genuinely interested in Giannis. I think Stein reported that yesterday.
Bill Simmons also said he thinks the Celtics are going to be the ones to get him.
He thinks they're the front runner, which then incorporates
Jalen Brown.
And where is he going to Atlanta? Is he going to here? Is he going to Portland?
Right,
like, where's
right.
Jalen Brown going to end up? But there's a lot of balls in the air, if you will. And we are now officially in the NBA offseason. Welcome, everybody.
I'll just say this, man. I don't know where Giannis will end up. If it's Boston and Milwaukee's involved with that and it's Jalen Brown, I can't think of a bigger piece that you could pick up in an offseason. You want to talk about building buzz? Imagine if we jump into that fray.
Yes.
And Milwaukee's like, yeah, you know what? Actually, we'll take a couple contracts for them to make money work, but we'd rather have our picks back and build that way.
Yeah, give us your young players and some picks.
I also wouldn't fault them at all for not wanting to do that and saying, Jalen Brown's actually a really good basketball player, and if the New York Knicks taught us anything, you need really good basketball players. So let's start with that. We got Miles Turner will be back next year. He's not awful. We got Jalen Brown. Got some young pieces we like. Let's use some of whatever we got from Boston. or another team. I don't know, but I'd love us to jump in the fray and get it. But I wouldn't fault Milwaukee at all for wanting to keep Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
And saying we're actually not going to suck really badly. We're going to try to win in the next 2 years. Like, that would be a good, I think, basketball decision by them. But
he was just the best player on the two seed in the Eastern Conference all year. I mean, Boston got, Holiday was gone. The Ant thing didn't really work. They then rerouted him. Like,
they're gonna be bad. Why would you want him? I'm like, to be good,
to be competitive.
Here's the hot take: there's been 8 straight different champions. I don't think Milwaukee's gonna be a title contender in 2 years.
No,
but in 3 or 4, yes, you could just as quickly turn that around, and you know what you'd have? A really good playoff piece on your team in Jaylen Brown.
Right, a good trustworthy piece.
So this idea that, like, you're going to bottom out, it doesn't reward you the same it used to, so that's changed things. And I just don't know if you could entice Milwaukee with pick stuff and Shaedon Sharpe. I don't know if that hits the same as just having a Jaylen Brown on your roster, if that's indeed the deal.
If that's what happens,
I'll be curious to see how active we're going to be and what coach we're going to hire, because it feels like we're going to make our coaching hire this week.
Yeah, we're going to get something. I think you want that in place for the draft, and I think the big, it seems like the rest of the NBA is on pause a little bit until you get the Giannis news. Like, if Giannis gets dealt, I think then it opens up the windfalls. Dude, you better not be.
Shams Charania, the Chicago Bulls have hired Tiago Splitter.
Oh, they got
Tiago. They took our guy!
They took our guy!
No!
Tiago!
We were too cheap!
No!
Damn it!
What are we going to do,
man? We have contract details?
What are we going to
do? He's making at least more than $1.5 million. This is devastating!
How will we ever rebuild?
They're going to crumble!
Yeah, it's over. Well, might as well just wrap up the show in the segment.
Well, that's it. That's the offseason right there, guys. It's over now.
Wait for
all the hot takes. How Tom Dundon ruined this franchise.
It'll be dead air for an hour for us. I'm not talking in the final. I'm boycotting the final hour of the show since Tiago Splitter's gone. I'm not returning.
How will they recover? How? Because the Bulls have
been a
model
timing?
of consistency.
How about the synergy in the world? Us talking about it brought it up. The breaking news sounder, Tiago Splitter is officially gone, ladies and
gentlemen. I can't believe it, dude. Tiago, we loved you. We barely got to know you.
Yeah, my take is not going to change. It's been the same the entire way. Tiago back? Okay, cool. Tiago gone? Okay, cool.
I'll put a poll question up. Is the offseason officially ruined now that Tiago Splitter will not be back?
I mean, I think he certainly had moments, and I give him a lot of credit for keeping the group I think that's a super big responsibility, especially for an NBA coach, of like managing egos, getting guys
and somebody
in the right
that's
direction.
Never been a head coach in the NBA before.
Challenging spot, right?
Thrown into it, and they didn't have a chance to really prepare for it either.
The only reason he was the interim head coach was because, or acting, whatever terminology we're using, was because one of the lead assistants was Chauncey's guy, and he didn't want the job. They wanted to give it to one of the other assistants, and he was like, I don't. This is unfair to Chauncey to do this. So Tiago takes it, and then, you know, it just, my thought has not changed on coaching. I don't think he was out of this world. They beat a lot of teams without a pulse in the back half of the year, and I think their final win-loss record was a little misleading because of that, while also being, you know, fair to him of holding it together and finding a way through all of the injuries and using G League guys of, like, having an above 500 season. So I thought he did a good job. It wasn't the greatest coaching job that I've ever seen in my entire lifetime. Well, and we're screwed if we don't re-sign him.
Yeah.
And now we turn to waiting on who we're going to hire as our next head coach. It will not be Tiago Splitter.
Could be Mike Inouye. Could be Tyler Lashbrook. I think was two of the other names as the finalists. I'll say this, man. Put a poll question up, mainly in jest. Is the offseason officially ruined now that the Bulls have taken Tiago Splitter away from us? You can vote at Dirt and Sprague. Poll question of the day. The one thing I don't want to get into that I feel like might, and we'll wait and see on this, is this going to be another 24-hour news cycle of crapping on Tom Dundon and how cheap?
Yes.
Okay.
It absolutely will be.
But if we would have hired him,
it wouldn't have changed
everything.
No.
It would have just been like, yeah, they paid a little bit. Tiago wanted to come back more than anything. He's lucky.
Yeah.
But if we don't hire him, we're cheap. We're cheap. We're cheap. We're cheap. We're cheap. We're cheap. We're cheap.
The guy who just won a championship in his other sport will get crucified in our market for 24 hours for this.
So that's what this is going to create?
That's exactly what it's going to create.
God, this storyline.
Tiago Splitter heading to Chicago. I got a lingering Jaylen Brown question I want to answer. We didn't get to there as we got distracted by our Shams breaking news. Hopefully we get a Giannis trade today, too. Double dip my chip, Shams. Let's do it. We'll start, though, with the Jaylen Brown question. We'll get into the footy football. A couple of football notes. It's a loaded final hour on a Monday. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.